phone for the green light to the speed trap. Recarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain bastards as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Well, if you're trying to get here and you think you have a short time, your problems have been solved because you found Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, Wingman, and...
other guy.
Well, the guy, Joe D, you know, there was just a delivery. There was a group of our Mocklin fans outside that just donated a case of gum, and I don't know why, but...
Yes.
They kind of transported themselves in, and if you don't get the joke, watch the Orville. You'll pick it up.
But, I guess that was really funny.
And we're going to have a great time today, Joe. We're going to have a special guest on the line, Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars.
Where's that gum?
Yeah, you're going to get some gum. Now, and if you want to follow us and get in touch with us offline, you can follow us at motormouthradio.com. We're on Twitter, Motormouth Radio, and Joe's favorite Instagram at...
_ Motormouth Radio.
Where we post all the stuff we get involved with during the week at our prospective other jobs. And you can follow. That's the best way to follow us. Like
as if
us.
We don't have enough fun here.
Yeah. Also, go to the website and you can sign up for our weekly blog. It'll give you an email account of what we do. And you know, if you like the music, like Eastbound and Down, just like that, the old good old Jerry Reed song, we have a Spotify account that you can actually follow on the website. So we have all sorts of stuff here.
Cars, music, you name it.
There's videos up there. There's a plethora of stuff for you to get involved with. So and we encourage you to do so. But until then, we have a few minutes to talk, Joe.
We can talk to ourselves, yeah.
We're pretty good at that.
So what kind of a week have you had?
My week was kind of wild. You know, it was a story. I didn't get to talk about it last week.
Yes, that conversation.
This has been ongoing at the shop. I did put a post on Instagram. You could check it out there. Trying to do a valve adjustment on Mike's Chevelle that we're restoring.
Right.
And the problem being, in a nutshell, it was working on an engine that was said to be rebuilt. And, you know, you didn't rebuild it. So you've never seen the inside of it, but now you have to make it work. And the problem was...
Nobody knows nothing.
Yeah, and the valves weren't adjusting correctly. And we're at the point now we can fast forward to, on Monday, tomorrow, I'm actually going to pull the front of the engine apart to verify cam timing because I think something
that
is...
That was the consensus. Yeah. You know, between you, me, a couple other guys, yeah.
So. Well, I'll tell you what I did, and people should know this because this is what... You know, our listeners should, that's why they call us, presumably, to get wise advice. I went, you know, I know what my gut tells me, but I went to my cadre, you know, my cache of wise sage souls, and you were the first one I called, Joe, of course.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, and then I went to, race. Well, Camaro Vinny, I tapped him. Actually, our good friend Chassis John down in Florida, I gave him a call too because I know he's another big block guy, as well as Kenny Hammer. I gave Kenny a call because he's done a lot of engine work. And everybody kind of said the same thing. Yeah, something ain't right. You got to verify.
Find the bind.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was my thing.
I guess the bottom line is, without getting into the real nuts and bolts of what's going on, when something is wrong and it doesn't feel right, and it's not acting right, you have to verify. And to do that, sometimes it means taking something apart.
Yeah, going back, maybe not exactly to square one, but maybe square three or so. You know what I mean?
We're good at taking stuff apart, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, let's face it. That's always the part that I like the best, is ripping stuff apart. Because trying to put it back together again, I don't know. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Where did I find this bolt?
Yeah, well, that's... I'm a big fan of take something apart and you put the bolts back in the holes where they're supposed to go.
Well, actually, yeah, I am rather a stickler for that. If I take a dashboard apart, I tape the screws.
Yes.
I either put them in this spot or I tape the screws to the panel.
Yeah.
And what are you doing that for? It's just because I got no memory left.
Yeah, no good idea. You know what? Well, the other thing is you may walk away and not be back at that spot for a couple of days, a week, and then where'd these go?
Yeah, which, you could take some time and figure it out. That's always a fun little puzzle. But the other way of looking at it is that if you're trying to crank something out, and time is money. You want to get it done as fast as possible without wasting as much time, as little time as possible.
When you've done something like 200-500 times, you kind of know where the stuff goes. But sometimes it's the first time you're doing something, and you don't know. So 516-572-7440. Also, our most modest alumnus, Chris Switzer, has got himself involved in a project, a 1969 Chrysler 300.
Yes.
That hasn't run in 30-some-odd years.
Speaking of Chryslers that need restoration.
So this week he sent me some pictures where he did suck some fuel out of the gas tank that was, like, varnished to death. He pulled the fuel pump. It's El Muerto, da-da-da. All the stuff that you'd expect from a car sitting that long. So
yeah.
He's trying to revive that thing, pump some new life into it. He put some oil down the cylinders to make sure that it would turn. And again, this is what happens when you buy a car that's been sitting a long time.
It's an unknown quantity. Trust nothing. That's what I've learned.
And with his situation, the car was just sitting, as it was parked. He was concerned that it was parked with the hood up. And I said, I wouldn't be bothered. I mean, it was in the garage, so it wasn't outside. I said, they probably just did that to keep rodents and stuff out, because if you keep the compartments open, they don't always...
Yeah, somebody might have, went to look at the battery or something like that.
Right.
And, I just didn't bother to close the hood.
So we'll get...
I'll get to this bed one of these days,
Right. We'll get more updates on that as that happens, because I'm sure he'll be... I know he'll be filling us in on that.
So. Yeah, that'll be one of our ongoing sagas for the oncoming season. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a bit of work to do. I mean, you got to clean all that crap out of there.
Yeah.
And
the tank, I think, has to be sent out. Let a pro do it.
Absolutely. Drop it down. Have it professionally gone over. Probably if the sock has been marinating crap.
That's what I said to him in an email. I had a thought and said, the sock, I've seen them where they just solidify and you touch them and they just puffocate.
Yeah, my Z28, after it sat for 9 years, that sock was...
Right.
It turned to some strange stalactite-looking thing, and it couldn't suck. Only half of it would allow fuel through, and the car would die. And I thought it was a carburetor problem, a fuel pump problem, whatever.
That's the thing. Before you touch it to have it break... It creates all these problems, and I said to him, you just may not be pulling fuel, So there's all that stuff. Again, it has to be seen. You have to have human eyes on it.
And also, when it comes to stuff like that, you just take it apart and do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, if you got the time to waste, fine. If it's not potentially going to wreck anything, if you try it, fine.
What is it that Joey said?
Is anything going to explode? No! Try it!
Which almost happened at the shop that you work at, right?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when people don't tighten stuff down or whatever. You know what I mean?
We'll leave stuff off.
Things can go awry really quick as far as that goes. So, always double check your work.
Right.
Always double check what's going on, because I've seen it. Something stupid like leaving a valve cover loose, not tightening it down, oil dripping onto a hot exhaust, like that, So as far as that goes, that's the stuff you want to check. I mean, even something stupid like an oil change. I mean, they make fun of me because I start the car up, I look at the filter, I look at the drain pan, the drain plug, all that stuff before I let the car out.
Good idea.
You know what I mean? Because that one time that you don't do it, that's the time that car is going to go down the block, and next thing you know, it comes back on the hook, and you're on the phone with like LKQ or Jasper or somebody trying to buy a motor. So
it's like we always say, if you follow the right procedure even if it's your procedure, but you follow it every time, you have less of a chance of being bit. You still may have a problem, but less of a chance.
Stuff will happen.
Yeah.
Stuff will happen, but, you know, the more that you pay attention, it basically comes down to paying attention.
Right.
You have to pay attention with this stuff. You have to have a feel for it. I mean, especially when you're doing, like, electrical type stuff. You have to understand how things work. Like, I had a trailblazer with a battery drain, which ended up being an instrument cluster, which actually is very common.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was kind of humbled because Johnny Wrench actually found it on YouTube right about the time I got worked myself to it was fused like 24 on this particular vehicle.
Right, right.
And right about the time I was headed in that direction, because I do them in sequence. I look at the diagram and I pull them out in a certain sequence. He goes, you know, I just saw this. You got to check fuse 24. I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to hang it up and just watch YouTube.
Right, right.
Or just tell people, hey, go check YouTube. But
there is good stuff on there, but you have to really be, you know, you got
to... You have to take it with a grain of salt.
You got
to
vet it. Yeah, you got to vet it.
There's some really knowledgeable guys out there. And they have, not only do they know a lot of stuff, but their critical thinking and getting to the source of the problem is a big part of it. You know, and then add to that their way of demonstrating it, too. Like, the one guy that Johnny watched goes, it was like talking to you. He had that red thing he had clamped around the cable. He had the meter and the wires. And I'm like, yeah, see, that's how you do it. See, I'm not the only tard out there that does this stuff.
Right, right, right.
So
that's true.
That was a little bit of validation for me.
Which, you know, you really don't need, you know, because you know you're doing it right. But, you know, it's...
Once in a while, you know, it's like, hey, egghead.
It's nice to see when other people understand and have that light bulb moment where they realize, like, hey, he knows what he's doing. Hey, thanks a lot.
Hey, he's just as messed up as that guy on the YouTube over there. So,
right.
It felt good. It definitely felt good.
Absolutely.
But you have to approach stuff like that. Like, one thing that I've learned, as a matter of fact, I should have bought it in. I bought a tool from one of those online places. I think it was AES Wave, and it's a side terminal battery disconnect. Like, for the longest time with top terminals, you used those marine or race car disconnects that you put on the terminal, and then you connect the battery cable to it, and you turn a little plastic knob, and you can make and break the connection. I found this one that does side terminals, because I do a lot of GMs.
Sure.
And it's nice because you could actually put it real close to the battery. So a lot of times trying to rig something up there, especially with side terminals, trying to get the battery, the cables on your meter, or if it's an older car, the test light, to sit there properly is tough. So this thing just makes it easy. You just screw it onto one side, you screw the cable onto the other side, and you turn the knob, and with your meter hooked up, and it's got a nice surface area for your meter clamps. And you really should, if you're doing a battery drain on anything newer than, say, like 1980, you really should be using a meter instead of the good old test light method. And that includes the voltmeter method, because it depends on the voltage thing, because there's a lot of stuff in there that actually pulls current at different rates. The voltmeter method, which a lot of guys use, I was taught the voltmeter method back in the day, it's not as accurate anymore. And speaking of voltage, there's voltage going to that little blue bulb.
All right, let's try this. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Is this Crazy Ray or Crazy Joe?
Oh, you got them
now,
both.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. It's mentally unbalanced. We must be politically correct with this.
Right. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to catch up to all this PC stuff these days. It's taking me a little while. Yeah.
Is this mentally challenged, Mark?
Oh, that's a shame. Coming back at me like that. Well, yes, this is, however, emotionally challenged. How about that?
You know what?
That's probably more accurate. But that's okay. You're in the car business. It's okay.
We were going to take a break, but you know what? Let me give you the intro music.
Okay.
He's in the parking lot. Mark, I didn't hear you singing along. What happened?
Well, I didn't know I was live. I was taking a drink of my coffee.
Oh, okay.
What kind of director are you?
I'm terrible, yeah.
Listen, I'm an actor, okay? I'm used to following instructions.
Okay.
So I don't have a crystal ball here.
Gotcha.
We should have clapped that chalkboard thing.
Right.
No
right.
Far or no car. Good song, man.
Hell yeah.
I get that rotation just for you. Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you something, Mark. In the last few weeks, we've had a lot of content, and we've actually been referred to as Mopar Mouth Radio.
You remember that?
Yes. So, you know, I take that.
I like it. How did you manage to earn that moniker?
Well, we had, of course, we had you on a while back. Then we've had Tony D'Agostino on the show. He gave us a...
Who?
Yeah, you know, the Philly kid.
Tony, what's his name? Tony what?
D'Agostino.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Tony Danza, right. There you go.
Okay, I see where you're going.
And we had our buddies.
Philly Cheesesteak. He was on?
Yes, he was. He was on about 3-4 weeks ago, I guess.
Was he nice to me?
He was very nice to you, yes.
Ah, good. Okay, yes. Well, I like Tony.
Oh, he's a great guy. And he actually wants to come back, so I guess he liked us too. But then we had a guy at a store where I buy all of my records from, my vinyl records. He's a Mopar guy, Mopar Joe. He's listening out at Infinity Records. And we have a common friend who's called Mopar Bob, who has a 74 Cuda that he bought brand new. So we had the two of them in.
Right.
And then, of course, our last co-host is restoring now a 69 Chrysler 300. It's a letter car. So it's Mopar Mouth Radio.
That's an extension to his house, that one.
Yeah, right.
Well, your ratings will undoubtedly go up if you change the name.
Right. Yeah, you know.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, guys. Well, good. It sounds like you've had some Pentastar pride around there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Change the name. They've got to change the business cards and the logo and all of that. It's going to cost
us
money.
Oh, yeah, that's like $25.
I know.
You don't need that stress,
that's a whole nother box of crayons. What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I
gotta go to Staples and buy printer ink, you know. It's kind of rough. But yes, we have been in the Mopar state of mind around here quite a bit.
Well, good. Yeah. What's the weather like back there?
Today it's like almost 60. It's sunny. It's downright habitable.
It's going to be nice today, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome, guys.
We had a great winter where everything went below us. So all of our buddies in, like, the Washington area and Virginia that's, you know, way below us in New York, they got slammed, and we just had, like, a nice mild winter. So we're happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll bet. You guys usually get nailed pretty hard, right?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, you guys don't get too much snow up your way, right?
Well, you know...
They did about
if you
a week
asked
ago.
Me that 2 months ago, I'd say no. You're right.
All right.
We had our snowmageddon for our area here.
Yikes!
In 1969, I was I hadn't even been born yet. Wait, that's a lie. I was seven. I was seven, and there was a big snowstorm, and it was 36 inches on the Willamette Valley floor. It was crazy.
Jeez.
Wow.
Since then,
you know, we'd get 6 or 8 inches here and there, a little bit, not often, every 3 or 4 years. Really, I think we're like 300 or 400 feet above sea level, so it takes a lot to get things to turn to snow. Well, this year, earlier this month, I'm sorry, about 3 weeks ago, we got hit with, I don't know what the official one was. Out back, we were measuring 14 and 16 inches. I don't think it was that much across the plains, but here it was a mess. I'll have to send you guys some pictures. It was crazy. I'd go out back, and all there are is these little white bumps that I think have Mopars underneath them out in the graveyard.
Actually, we did see the on Instagram, it was on Instagram you put it. And the snow, you were out in a power wagon, so that was telling.
Yeah. It was on Twitter, I think.
Okay. I know it was, I follow you on both of them, so I don't remember which is which anymore.
I had the big 440 power wagon, 1976, out there moving around, and then... We got our Stringo car mover out and pushed some snow with that, and our Ranger, or not our Ranger, what the hell, who makes that thing? Our forklift.
Right.
That was crazy. We'd put a pallet on our forklift and drive it around and push snow. Kind of ghetto, but it worked.
Well, that is resourceful. I like that.
It was very resourceful. That was Cousin Dougie at the helm there.
Dougie, I'll tell you something. You know, as you know, Dougie now has become, I think, an internet sensation. He's a phenom.
Crazy.
Because I follow your feed, and on Twitter, you know, people, and I myself included, love the guy. I think Dougie is great.
Yeah.
And
he's got the biggest heart, and he's a great guy, and he knows we're having fun. and he's having fun.
Yeah.
If you actually see him knuckle down and work on an engine or something, he's actually really brilliant. He's a great tech, but he's just having fun and going with it, and I think it's wonderful because I've known him, of course, my whole life, and
sure.
He was really shy, always been really shy, and I think that's kind of what comes across, too, is he's a little awkward because of it.
Well, you bring the effervescence out of him, let's say.
I do.
You know,
I think Will does a little of that too.
Yeah, and I got to say, even now, as a viewer, I'll make this comment as a TV viewer. When you watch Dougie, and they don't show much of what he does, it's usually quick clips. But I can tell, as someone who wrenches myself, I can see the guy knows what he's doing. It's very evident. You know,
he's very conscientious, and that's one of the things that's so hard to teach anybody is think about it before you put the bolt in. Make sure you run it in by hand as far as you can. If it feels great, then clean the threads up and run it in the rest of the way if it doesn't start over. So many technicians that have worked here, it's hard to get that through their head.
Yeah,
I mean, not just here, but I mean, I had a body shop for 25 years.
Yeah, they set the impact to 11.
They've cross-threaded a bolt, or they've hammered something to fit, and
or they've hammered the bolt.
That's not Doug. Yeah, he'll sit there and if it takes him all day to scratch his head, but he'll come up with the right answer and then put it together right. And in the end, it's your money and time ahead because it did get done right, and it's not coming back up and to the shop and having to be worked on again. So yeah, I love the guy.
Absolutely.
We'll see if we can have him on next time.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So now we're now watching season 11 of Graveyard Cars, which season 10 ended a week ago. So how does that work? It's a split season. I don't know what these networks are doing.
Can't you guys count?
I'm confused.
Well, I think we got it counted pretty good. I think it's the I don't know who gets the stuff messed up. I don't think it's the network at all. I don't think it's anything to do with Motor Trend. I think it's the cable providers.
Okay.
They'll put things down wrong, so they have this as season 10, episode 14, 15. Well, without getting too confusing, we're in season 11. Last Tuesday was our season premiere, and this is the first time in our history where there wasn't a break in between seasons. So we did season 10. Other than there, we were off for 3 weeks during January, I think because of the Barrett Jackson auction
and things
they had going with the schedule. So we took a 3-week reprieve there, but then we were back on steady through the rest of the season, and then we didn't even miss a day, and they came back with the season premiere.
That was the kind of confusing thing where 1 week it ended, the next week it was a new season. Meanwhile, when the Sopranos were on, I had to wait like 16 months.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
or,
come on!
Or,
you know.
I don't know if you watch Peaky Blinders.
No, I don't, I don't watch that one.
Yeah, so same thing, been waiting forever for that thing to come back, brilliant. Brilliant show.
Well, listen, more graveyard.
Yeah, usually you wait a while. Go ahead.
More Graveyard Cars is a good thing. And
I think so. I think we're up to episode. I think by the time 11 ends, I don't remember exactly, but I think it's 130 or so episodes.
Wow.
Yeah,
time flew.
From kind of humble beginnings where nobody thought we'd get anything off the ground.
Let me ask you the interviewer's question. Where do you see this going? Where do you see? I don't want to say. Do you see an end? Because I don't want to see an end. But what do you see in the future? How, you know, what's the prognosis?
Prognosis.
Thank you, doctor.
It's okay. Big word.
Yeah, it is.
Prognosis.
$5 word.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, none of us really know. I mean, you can say what you hope happens, and what I hope and what I'm trying to build is a situation where we have, we continue the show, because I really think we've just got our stride going in the last 3 or 4 seasons. And I hope that continues on for many years to come. It's still fun. It's taxing as hell, but it's the kind of chaotic world I love.
Mm-hmm.
We're always refining the shop and expanding and getting it where we can get more cars faster. It's just terrible to tell somebody it's going to be 24 to 36 months before your car is going to be done, or it's going to sit there for a year. We're trying to refine that. So we are making moves towards doing that in the way of expanding, and we're not quite ready to announce all of those things. But, yeah, we are going that direction. We're working on Graveyard Dreams, which we hope to get that spinoff show, the sizzle reel done for it here in the next couple of months. And our friends at Motor Trend showed some interest in looking at that. So, of course, there's lots of places we could maybe find a home. Might even be an online thing.
Right.
But I think that's a real fascinating thing where I'd be working with Bill Goldberg. He'd be my eye in the sky. He's the guy that'll check the cars out. As you guys know, I don't play that flying game. I'm not going to be a statistic.
Right, right.
I'm not going to be watching CNN and watching old Mark Gorman's face come up.
Well,
you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, you know what? We do a lot of work with Lou Santiago with our other show, and he doesn't fly either. He just drives everywhere, and it's, it's a personal choice. Fine. Nothing needs to be said more than that.
I'm a big fan of that.
But the thing is, Mark, and I know you've heard this, it's come back on social media, but I'll reiterate it for people who don't follow that. The show, the nice thing is the show has continually grown and changed personnel-wise, but also with the materials and the way you present the show. And now, my favorite part. You have the car of the week, the ghoul of the week, the corpse of the week.
Yeah, those are really popular.
And the thing that's continued but ramped up is the technical nature, and that's what we all love, because as car guys, you know, we can smell it right away. We know when a fish is bad, and you got the real stuff, which is what...
The detector goes off, that's for sure.
That's what we want to see, and I see on social media people are responding to that, which is very, very true, and the networks should really pay attention, because, you know, we are paying the bills.
Yeah, well, and I think that they do. I think the network thing, that's a rough game for those guys, because there's so many... Like, I think a show to be successful just has a lot of boxes to check, not just one, not just ratings, because in today's world, it's a social media world. So maybe your ratings are medium, but you're super strong in social media. You have great persona. You know, there's just so many things to consider when they put a show on. But I've been told that we're hitting a lot of those boxes and have been, but I just don't want to assume we'll always, you know, be on. I mean, everything runs its course sooner or later.
Sure.
I'd just like to have some things in place like the Graveyard Dreams and a couple other ideas I had, so we can continue to keep the Mopars fresh in everybody's living room.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I think the good thing is
just the guy to do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, very nice. Absolutely. People have asked me, like, hey, is there anybody else who does the same thing with other cars? And I said, you know, not on TV. I said, I know one or two local guys who do some, we have a Corvette guy who does nothing but Corvettes, and he certainly is a contemporary of you in the Corvette world. I said,
right.
But, you know, we don't see that with the Fords and even with the Chevys. I mean, not that I've seen, at least.
So. Well, you know, and that's where I kind of feel bad for, you know, those situations, because I can assure you there's really great shops that are doing exactly what we're doing for other cars, and maybe even Mopars, too. But
right.
They just didn't, you know, have the fortune of getting on television. Mm-hmm. And of course, we worked hard for everything we have. I wrote it out. I'm not saying we deserved anything. I'm just saying that there's a little luck and a little hard work goes a long way.
Right.
And some of these shops, like I say, are really good shops, but they just don't get the notoriety.
Yeah. Well, and plenty of shops have come, and there have been TV shows, and they lasted a season, and for a multitude of reasons, and, you know, hey, whatever it is, there's very, very many variables there that have to be, a lot of boxes have to be checked.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that might have made that show a one-season show, and it may just be the person didn't want to do it, too. I think you guys, a good example of that is, didn't you guys have Dan on not
yes,
long ago?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Dan Short, yep.
And I remember him talking about the fact that he had kind of ran the course. He was the one that pulled the plug on the show, if I'm remembering right. Is that right?
That is correct,
that pretty
yes.
much sums it up, yeah.
Absolutely.
In a nutshell, he just got where... And I can understand it. I understand. He's a successful guy. He doesn't need the notoriety. He doesn't need the money that comes in from the program. So he's looking at what are the downsides to it, because everything has them. And he did his way in out, and he decided that he'd be better off just focusing on the cars and not taking any chances.
Right. Yeah,
we do seem to have harder time with employees as it TV show than we ever did as a shop.
I can imagine. One of the things that, now, let me say that Dan had written a pretty big soliloquy about the end of his show, and we have it posted on Motormouth Radio at motormouthradio.com on our website if people want to see that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we put it up there as a, you know, so people could find it easier and, you know. But anyway, one of the things he said was that kind of made me chuckle was, he said, yeah, when the film crew came in, all the radios had to go off. And I guess, obviously, right. There were multiple radios in the shop. And he said the thing that would upset some of the guys who were not on camera, had to turn their radio off, too. And it's like, hey,
right.
You know,
right.
I want to listen to my favorite show here, and I can't do it. And the stuff that's just day-to-day in a shop, if you're not in a shop existence, you wouldn't understand it. So those things are important to an employee. Like, yeah, you know, I want to have my coffee break, and I want my radio and whatever. So...
Well, yeah. And then the humanity of it, you know, the one guy saying, well, why are they filming him putting a door handle on? Why aren't they filming me? And then next thing you know, that monster creates.
Right.
Or the guys that have delusions of grandeur. Hell, if he can do it, I can do it. So you're always, there's a lot that goes on besides just action roll cameras.
You know, we have seen, since we're on the subject, we have seen some notable turnover in your show with employees on air. Has it been higher with people that are off air?
No, it's lower with people that are off air.
Okay, good. Well, that's good.
Yeah, the show just, it's a strange anomaly, and I got to be careful with what I say. But there's a lot happens when you're on the show. Our job is to make sure, as a producer and a director, that we're honest with our audience. But to a point, you don't want to show every mistake, because after a while, like in the early seasons, they go, well, they're just a bunch of mess-ups. They don't know what they're doing.
Right, right.
So the thing is, we make them look really, really good. And so therefore, oftentimes, they'll go to different trade events. Well, like we just got back from Costa Mesa. We went down there for the Classic Auto Show. It's really cool.
I want to ask you about that next, yeah.
Yeah, and you can't go 5 feet without, because you're there, right? You're in their world. It's not like we're at Safeway or Albertsons or Fred Meyer and we're sitting shopping and nobody knows, but you're in the car world where car people came to a car show and they come up and they treat you like a god. They go crazy.
Right.
And you have to
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Okay.
Yeah, right, right. That's right. Wayne's World. Well, which, by the way, I watched Dana Carvey stand up last night.
Oh,
horrible. Anyway.
Really?
I don't know what happened there, but it's easy to go to your ego. It's easy to buy into it, to drink from the Kool-Aid, if you will. And that really has been the biggest problem with turnover at Graveyard Cars is they hear how great they are, and they believe it, and then they feel entitled, and it's difficult to deal with all those dynamics. I wish any of them well, because I think they're all good people.
Right.
But they got to find their niche, right? They all got to just find their place and their spot. And what I never understood is why somebody can't just be happy that they're living this really cool life right now. It's just a segment of your life. It's just a little time frame in the snapshot of your life. Just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Don't immediately start thinking, I can have this, I can have that, you owe me this. And that's exactly what happens. Not to everybody, but some of them it does.
Yeah, and I have to say, I know this statement isn't true for everyone, but I think if I worked for someone like you, I would have a ball, because you're just... You're a goofball, and I think I can...
That's all it should be, is you should just... Like the camera guys that work for us, Pete and Shane, audio guy Jeffrey, they just crack up all day because I'm just trying out all my material on them. Every bit of it. All day long is a... I can't think of the word. I'm trying out. I'm doing tryouts all day long for these guys.
It's a focus group.
And they have fun, and they don't think about anything else except that it was a great day, and they had a lot of fun.
Right.
And that's really what it should be, because it's just this is all just a short period of time in our lives. When it's gone, I would like to look back and say, man, you know, I enjoyed every minute of it. It was a blast, and now I've got this little legacy to follow me around. I wish everybody looked at it like that.
Right. And, you know, Joe and I are both fathers. We're both fathers of girls, of 20-something-year-old girls. And I got to say, I know the one person who in your show who does basically respond the least is your daughter, Alyssa.
Yes.
And we feel it because, like I said, we're fathers of girls ourselves. So.
Yeah.
But that's funny because it's real. It's real. And you, we see that and we say, yeah, that's what my daughter would do. She'd do the same damn thing.
You know, well, they know they're going to get away with more, right? You can't fire your daughter.
Right.
So they just know, and they know all your shtick. They know what your temperament is. They know how long your fuse is. I mean, yeah. They grew up with you. They know everything about you. They know you yep. as well as you know yourself. So they know when to push and when not to. They know what will fly and what won't.
Right.
And once in a while, you kind of got to break tradition and get a little crazy and upset maybe when they think you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's all just little ways to keep them reined in, reeled in.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Liz is doing super. She's really, yeah. really
excellent.
Great.
You know, people have commented to me, again, you know, since people know we have you on the show, they think that we know everything about you and that we have dinner with you every week, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
Yeah, he's in Oregon. We have dinner all the time.
Once a month. We don't get every week.
Yeah, I know. That's why I tell
you. Yeah, I know. People are crazy, right? A month.
On the other side, we do get comments, and people will tell us, like, hey, and one of the things I heard recently was, you know, I like Alyssa doing that, the segment, you know, the new segments that she's doing.
Absolutely.
You know. And I said, yeah, I happen to agree with that. I think that's a good fit for her. It really is.
And we're really getting our hands in the cars, too, because this next, in two or three episodes from now, maybe four, I don't remember the number, but our 71 CUDA 343 speed 1 of 8 is in violet, white top, white interior car.
Nice.
I put on the driver's side billboard, and you guys watch the show, you know they're a bitch. And I put it on, let her watch, and then I just handed her the passenger side. Now, we did this before with her and Will. They never got the decal off the table without ruining it. They got the backing paper wet, and that was it. Game over. But, you know, she laid that out. No fake camera stuff. No Big Brother. You'll see in there that I helped her squeegee a couple of problems out. But she did that really by herself. And I've got employees that have been here a long, long time that still can't put decals on.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's great. That means there's a little bit... There's a chance that I won't always have to be the one putting these decals on. That's a good thing.
No, that's a tough thing.
Apple, me, tree.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, you know, that is, I got to say, with all the stuff that happens, that is a very specific kind of skill to have. It's, you know, it's that's good. I'm glad that she's responded to that.
So we're having a good time.
You know, I made some notes on the shows. I know I made one, but this is back from the February 19 show when Tony was on. And I made a note that Mark never saw Hollywood Nights. Now, why did I write that? Because Hollywood Nights is a funny... I knew we have Newbomb Turk, and we have the Pie Wagon and all that cool stuff. I don't know why I... Does anything ring true? I don't know why I didn't write... I made a note, but I didn't write why I made the note, which is, I guess, stupid, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, look. I don't understand you guys.
Good.
When Tony was out last time, he made me watch it.
Okay.
So we went in and that, obviously you don't watch every episode or you'd know that. He walked me in the theater, made some popcorn, and we watched Hollywood Nights. And it was okay. It was all right. It's so sophomoric. Okay. It's just,
yes.
I don't know. I know guys should just love that.
You know?
Fart jokes, penis jokes.
I've had this taste in my mouth before, and I don't know where.
You guys back there laughing just at the word. See, there's a way to intellect behind my humor, all right?
I guess
what's that? You're tapering off there.
I will say this. I do watch every episode and I have the notes to prove it, but I just forgot.
Copious notes.
Yeah, it's...
oh, wow.
Now, I would have guessed that would have been a favorite of yours, but I don't know. I guess I'm wrong.
No, I liked American Graffiti, but not like a lot of people did.
Right.
But I did enjoy it. I mean, obviously, it was great. I mean, it's Where Were You in 62, I think, was the thing.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's the tagline, yeah.
Well, I was in a womb in 62,
right.
I didn't quite appreciate it. But I do love, I really do love the cars that are in that movie. And Milner, I mean, I honestly, when I was like 15, I wanted one of those 32 high boys like he had so bad.
Yeah.
And, of course, that never happened. Now I could have one, but I don't want one.
Right.
It's funny. But, yeah, car movies are they're kind of a fickle little thing.
Oh,
and sometimes the car, when the car should be the star, like I thought that they, you know, that was a great premise, but it was more of a Animal House type thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it was kind of Animal House with cars. You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. But it was okay, and it was fun, and I got to hang out with him and tease him. And he's sitting there laughing at it in the front row of the theater like it's the first time he ever saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. The tether's about to come up there. Tether.
Wow. Yeah.
I love the guy. Wow. He is awesome.
We all have our
favorites. He puts up with my crap.
Yes, yes. And we're going to get him back on. I tell you what, we would like you to put up with our crap for a minute because we need to take a break here. We got to pay a few bills here at the station.
Yeah.
So if you can hang on with us for about 2 minutes or so, we'll take care of business and we'll come back and talk more about graveyard cars.
You got it, buddy.
All right, Mark, hang on. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll be back with more of Mark Warman and Graveyard Cars on 90.3 WHPC.
Fire up, man!
This show is brought to you by the Neenan Healing Arts Center, an acupuncture establishment located in Belmore. The most common ailments presented to an acupuncturist tend to be pain-related conditions. For example, arthritis, back, neck, knee, and shoulder pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, and sciatica. Other health issues that can be treated with acupuncture include emotional and psychological disorders, weight loss, eye, ear, nose, and throat disorders, circulatory disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, addiction, and many other conditions. More information can be found by calling the Neenan Healing Arts Center at 516-442-7408. The Neenan Healing Arts Center is a proud supporter of the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
90.3 WHPC wants to let you know that Wednesday, April 17th, is our second ever WHPC Day at Miller's Ale House of Levittown. On Wednesday, April 17th, Miller's Ale House of Levittown is hosting a Give Back Day to support WHPC. More information can be found by searching for 90.3 WHPC on Facebook at 903WHPC on Twitter or at 903WHPC on Instagram. Miller's Ale House is located at 3046 Hempstead Turnpike in Levittown, across from the Tri-County Flea Market, where WHPC's Give Back Day is Wednesday, April 17th from 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Thanks to you and Miller's Ale House of Levittown for supporting the non-commercial educational radio at the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, we're back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D., and the maven of Mopar, Mr. Mark Warman.
Howdy, guys.
Hey, Mark. All right.
Hello.
Wow, this hour is really burned. We're in the last segment of our show.
It's flying.
Joe has an interesting question to ask you, Mark.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So when you go to hire a guy, someone in the shop, you know what I mean, based strictly on, you know, the work that has to be done, Does he have to, like, submit headshots? I mean, when he comes in, do you, like, put your fingers that way and, like, picture his face? Will this guy look good on camera? You know?
No, not at all. No, okay. We've never done that. No. We always put the shop first, and then if we find somebody is in it, would show well and sound right, then we'll put them on and talk to them about putting them on the show or having them in it.
Okay.
But, no, that's not a requirement for that at all.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering how photogenic you had to be.
That's good to know.
Well, you know, you'd be a star if you came out. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mark, listen, why do you think we're doing radio?
Exactly.
You know, they say...
Right.
You know, it costs a lot to put these bags over our heads for
burlap ain't cheap.
Oh, boy. You guys.
You know how it goes.
Well, you know, faces for radio. That's for sure. Yeah.
But,
well, awesome. So you were going to ask me about the show down in California.
Yeah, yeah. I want to, because we you touched it on the TV show last week. I think we saw it, and it looked like a fun time. Of course, we didn't get to see you know, in depth, and since we're not in Costa Mesa, we didn't get to be there.
Right.
But, yes, yeah, so just basically, you know, just going to ask you how it went. I know Adam Carolla was out there. You got to touch base with him. He's and Dave Kinder. He's somebody we want to have on this show. Because he's
Adam or Dave?
Adam, well, both of them. But I know Adam is one of those guys. No one associates him with cars.
I know it's strange, isn't
but,
it? Yeah, but
he
yet he's a huge car nut.
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool.
Well, it was cool. Yeah, I was in the little backstage room there where the talent would be that were going up on stage to do their little interviews. call it a green room, but I just hate that kind of jargon. Anyway, a little room there. We're eating, and Adam came in. He had his sunglasses and a hat on, and he walks up to me, and he says, "You're a funny guy." I'm sorry?
Yeah.
"You're a funny guy. I love your show, man, and I love that you're working with your daughter this year. Really nice." What?
Yeah,
he was actually watching the show. That was so cool.
Well,
yeah, that was great. So I got a selfie with him, and I had moon eyes for some reason in it, so I don't share that very often. I look all dreamy and gooey. And I don't know what happened there.
Right, right.
Dave was there, and K-Dog or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah.
They're nice guys. They got a beautiful setup, I'll tell you. They run in there with an 18-wheeler trailer, and they do all their swag out of there. And it's a really nice, impressive setup. It really is. He goes to show really well.
That's good. Good to know.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a good show. A lot of cars there. Not a lot of Mopars. The ones that were there weren't really anything like they weren't numbers cars. They were just nice driver cars. A lot of that in Southern California. 72 Challengers with a 440 in them and stuff, you know, that they never came with. But, boy, I'll tell you, I would trade their weather for ours any day, right? But I would not trade their traffic.
No.
And so that's why I just could never. I drove down and I hit the beginning of Los Angeles city limits at 5 o'clock on Friday. Oh. I took off at 4 in the morning, and I spent literally 3 hours with my left leg on the clutch just shaking like a leaf.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't stopped where you could throw it in neutral and get your foot off the clutch. And it wasn't rolling fast enough where you could let the clutch all the way out. Wow. It was just creeping for 3 hours.
Oh,
so that's my bitch.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint.
That's legitimate, yeah.
That is legit, yeah.
Traffic does suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
New York ain't exactly heaven either, you know.
Yeah, depending where you go, right. But, yeah.
What?
What's that?
What did Philly Steak have to say?
Well, we had Tony on. We really just covered the business. We introduced him to our listeners because, of course, people know him. But we kind of had to do the first, you know, the first dance kind of thing, which is always the, you know, the more buttoned down walk around where we let Tony talk and tell us all about, you know, the history and how he got to where he is and stuff that he's done on your show. And now he wants to come back again, so we'll put him on. And like with you, I think every phone call will get a little more loose and a little more, you know, conversational, if you will.
Yeah, you got to learn to trust us.
Yeah.
He takes a little warming up. I mean, now it's just so cool to have him out because he goes right into gear. But in the beginning, like anybody, it was a little bit of stage fright.
Right, right.
But I'll tell you something. I've been in this business my whole life, and there's nobody, period, that knows the parts end of it as well as he does. End of story, game over, I don't care who you are. Maybe there is, but nobody's ever met that person.
Right.
Whoever that person is, and nobody's met him, because he knows the part numbers, the interchangeability, better than the manuals know it. So, yeah, he's great resource, and he's also real pragmatic about his answers, too. He does QC me. He previews our episodes, especially if it's a real techie one, just to make sure that I'm not puking something out that isn't right. And he does sometimes catch me, absolutely. I'd be lying if I said he didn't.
Right.
But I'd also be lying if I said I didn't catch him occasionally.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, listen,
nobody's perfect.
You know,
nobody's perfect.
Nobody is a total walking encyclopedia. We do have our gaps, but the Tony is great. Now, I have a question for you, because like I said, our past co-host, Chris, is now, he bought himself a C-body, a 69 letter car. It's a 300. It's a 383 car, 727, but he's going to do some restorative stuff. And he says, boy, he goes, any of the guys you're dealing with deal with these cars? And I said, well, let's see, Mark really doesn't. I don't think Tony does at all either. He doesn't deal with C's.
He's B and E body, A body, yeah.
So where would someone go for some C body help?
Probably Google.
Okay.
All right.
Honestly don't know anybody doing them. I have no doubt that there's somebody out there doing the C-bodies the way we're doing our stuff that probably really know them well. That's where he does need to get, is somehow in there. But I would just Google it and find out if there isn't a letter car club. There probably are, but you'd want the ones, you know, those letter cars. I think those come out in the late 50s or mid-50s or something.
Yes.
So you want to make sure you're talking in the same genre.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not. I mean, the drivetrain's the drivetrain. I can answer any questions on that you might need. But when it comes to body, interior, chassis, Right. Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about it.
Okay. Just curious, because I told him I said I would ask. So, and I, like I said, the drivetrain, I told him the same thing. Drivetrain is just straight up Chrysler, boy. It's just Mopar. It's easy as pie. The parts are available. I mean, it's
good
like,
body, yeah.
You know, like, I always, one of my taglines is, yeah, you need a piston for a small block Chevy. You get it at 7-Eleven, you know, because they probably have
one
next to the Drake's Cakes. But
absolutely. Like, when I was growing up, they were a dime a dozen. You could build three small block Chevys for $1,440.
And now, like you said, you needed a fuel pump. I said, yeah, you could probably get that at 7-Eleven, maybe an aisle back from the Chevy pistons.
Because Starbucks has the fuel pump.
You know, when I had, well, Starbucks, yeah. When I had my Challenger back in the, I had a 318 Challenger back in the 90s, and I went to my local auto parts store. He pulled a fuel pump off the shelf that was dated 1973. It was the part was dated 73, and this was 1990 something. He still had it in stock.
Was it a reman or a new one?
No, it was an NOS pump.
Oh my gosh! It's been sitting there a while.
Yeah. The problem was those were the days we had MTBE put in our gasoline, and when you don't drive the car through the winter, every year the fuel pump and the accelerator pump would be toast in the spring.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
yeah.
So luckily now they've removed that from our gas. Now we just have god awful ethanol. But
right. At least they're not plugging up the cars.
Yeah, at least it's the lesser of two evils. You can combat the ethanol, but yeah. So on the you have any sage words of advice for people who may want to get into a restoration project? I know people, they ask us all the time, should I get into this or should I not? And, you know, of course, it all depends on skill level and pocketbook.
But, there's just nothing that's going to replace those two factors. The advice as far as a project goes, if you're looking at getting into a project car and taking your time and restoring it, then that advice is the same across the board. And that advice is spend a little bit more than you want to on the front end and get a complete car. Even if it's a complete car that doesn't run because the motor's frozen up. But if it's complete. Because once you start that dance of going on eBay and looking for parts or calling around, that's when the budget goes out the window.
The rabbit hole opens up.
When people dissect a car, they get a lot for that one individual part. That's the point behind it. They'll get $15 for a used inside pull handle because a new one's $35 from Classic Industries. Whereas if they're just on the car, it wouldn't take long to go through there with a calculator. So the advice is always the same. Buy the best car you can, the most complete, and the rarest and most desirable that your budget will allow. Don't buy that car that is a shell and say, if I build it, they will come. Because the only people that are going to come are the people that buy that car in about 5 years from you after you're buried in it, it still isn't done.
Yep.
Guys like me.
Yeah.
Come on and buy that car because they got 20 or 30 grand in a car, but you can't put that car on eBay and sell it for 20 or 30 grand. You'd have to part it out.
Right.
That's the advice on that, for sure.
Excellent. That's very good advice, Mark, and that's probably going to make our Mother's Day show. That's going to make our best of, because that is really sage advice. That is excellent.
That's cool.
Definitely.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to have to go because we got to wrap a little more business. And we thank you, Mark, for coming back with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's been great, man.
Always a joy to be on there. And I appreciate you guys a lot out there. I know you're repping for us. So thank you for all you do and for giving us a little platform here for our fans and everybody out there in Ghoul Land. We love you from Graveyard Cars, and have a good week next week.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, we'll keep in touch. We'll rope you back in here sooner than later.
Okay. Hey, I look forward to it, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care.
So long.
Bye-bye.
That was our good buddy Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars, of course.
He's a great guest, isn't he?
Yeah, you got to know. You got to love Mark's show, because even if you're not a Mopar guy, you know, it's like we said, just the way that he does it with the procedures and the technical stuff, that's what we want to see.
He's a great all-around source of information.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of guys know one or another segment of the business, but he's got a finger in everything.
Yeah.
Or an elbow. Or a foot.
And like us guys, Joe, you know, we're technical guys and we love to see that technical content. It's just, you know, it's something, if you build stuff.
It passes the sniff test.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because if it don't sniff good, then you don't want to. Right. I know I'm not as inclined to tune in the next time. It's like,
yeah,
these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So that show, you know, They're not full of it. You know what I mean? They pass.
So let me say what's going to pass is time.
This too.
Well, let's see. We got another caller on the line. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to the fun. Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Mark, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? Good show as always. Time is getting close, so I'll make it quick.
Go ahead.
My nephew has a 2010 Nissan Sentra.
Okay.
He says once in a blue, when he's stopping, doesn't have to be a hard stop, you know, but a decently quick stop, I guess, the engine stalls.
Ah.
Okay.
I hadn't checked it out yet with any, you know, didn't hook up the computer to it, whatever. Any clues?
What do you call it? As far as that goes, I mean, there's no check engine light or nothing like that, and the car runs fine all the other times?
Yes.
I would have to do a search for that. That sounds like maybe a TSB type of thing.
Yeah.
But I guess generically, I would make sure that the throttle body was cleaned.
How many miles in the car, Mark? Do you know?
He didn't say, actually.
You know, the first things that come to my mind is I think of, like, loss of fuel pressure, you know, like fuel drops out, dies.
Yeah.
Or I've seen some crazy electrical problems where on a weight shift something shorts out and dies.
Let's do it this way. Does the car restart immediately?
Yes.
Good question.
It does. Restarts, he's like, oopsie, and then off he goes.
Yep, that's what he said, yeah.
Okay. Like I said, I would have to check to see if there's a technical service bulletin, which unfortunately at this point of the day I'm not going to be able to do.
Is that
no, there's no rush.
Is that with a hard stop or a normal stop?
A little harder than a normal stop or a panic stop.
It's like
either way.
Oh, this
and it doesn't happen all the time. It happens maybe once every 2-3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not like it's more than once in a blue moon. It's,
right.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Okay, now the reason why I'm saying is that if it restarts immediately and the car's only recently started doing this?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He said it's been a while. Yeah. I think that's what he said.
I hear you.
Right.
No, that sounds like it might be a TSB. I would have to look. Or sometimes what happens too is then I would have to do a little checking on some of my technician forums, because a lot of times, remember, especially the Japanese cars, they don't always put technical service bulletins out. But then again, some of their techs might know it. So, you know what I mean? So I got to look. And generically, I would think about a dirty throttle body.
Okay.
That would be my first
easy
thing.
Easy enough to clean.
Yep. You know? Yep. Definitely.
Okay. I'll pass it on to him and, pretty good show.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah,
show.
Mark is
as always.
Guest.
Heard Chris on last week. Yeah, man, I tell you.
That's right.
Came out of the corner sector.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're going to see if we can get him on some more with this project that he's doing. So.
Yeah, this ought to be good for a couple, three laughs, you know what I mean?
All right, Mark.
It promises to be good.
Yep.
You got that
okay, guys,
right.
You take care. Mark. Enjoy your Sunday. It's a big 54.
Thanks.
Great. Right. Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
You know, speaking of Sundays, we are next week, Joe. We're doing our marathon. We're doing a fundraising marathon for 2 hours.
That's right. I got to slap off and buy sneakers.
And I forget now what our hours are. If we're going to be from 11 to 1 or 12 to 2, we got to find out during the week.
Right.
We got to find out. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. I got to know when the hell to wake up.
And then, a lot of stuff coming up. I know the biggest thing we have in April is on the 28th. We're doing our live remote from the Town of Oyster Bay Car Show at Tobe Beach. It's going to be Sunday the 28th. We're going to be out there with all the guys from the Town of Oyster Bay. We'll be doing a live remote with...
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be interesting, yeah. So we'll see how that works
out. Everybody start praying for sun now.
And we will be preempted, because we're doing 2 hours next week, we'll be preempted on a day, I think it's April 14th. We won't have a show because someone, I guess Rob or Kim will be doing their... promotion, right. So we'll have a Sunday off.
Wow.
How do you like that?
Ain't that a concept?
We usually never get
and
that.
And don't forget to save up your pennies and contribute, because it would say, look, see how much money we bought you.
Yeah.
Keeps, now keeps now keeps can I have a cup of coffee?
Yeah, right.
Among other things, yeah, you got to keep the kids, you got to keep the stuff going up for the kids, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, okay, that sounds good. We're not going to be bored, that's for sure.
No, we're going to be a little busy, and we got stuff going on. So,
and don't forget the social media stuff.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, MotorMouthRadio.com has all the links, and you can see what we do during the week. We put our posts, our good stuff, and our horror stories up. The horror stories are more fun, because it's the, oh, my God, what did they get into now? But we like to do that so people can share in what we do. And, you know, it's, the idea is, like, if we can learn from it, if we can do the hard work, then we can maybe teach somebody else how to get out of it. But, that's all how it goes.
Yeah, so stay tuned. You never know what kind of fun we're going to be getting ourselves into.
Exactly. That's it. So next week we'll be... I don't know if we're going to be on earlier or later. You could we could probably send up.
Well, we got tons of social media. We'll send up the bad signal. We'll have whoever's before us give you the heads up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But for now, we got to get out of here because it's going to be time for Thunder time? Road.
Oh yes, it's time for Thunder Road,
we got to run up. So we'll do that, Joe. Another great show. It was great having Mark Warman.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening, folks.
And we'll be back next week
on WHPC.
See ya.